So Norm Macdonald, his famous comedian, of course, he passed away. And they're saying that he recorded a whole like stand-up comedy set that was never aired during COVID. He recorded it in his house. He wasn't able to do it in front of an audience because of COVID. And it's never been released. And now they're going to release it.
It's interesting to me. I mean, on several different fronts. I mean, first off, how cool to think about somebody that's so into their craft that they break it down like sports footage or film, mm-hmm. right? Like they're doing an investigation. Like I always figured when you're feeling out a set, you might do it in front of some friends before you take it to a club. But for the most part, it was a feeling. It's just interesting to think about him watching it and recording it. It's also interesting to think about the fact that they're going to release this because who knows what's on there, right?
Right.
I mean, it's your final thoughts. If you were doing final thoughts, final words or whatever, what would that be like?
Right. So this is going to be released on Netflix. That's who he shot it for. But I was thinking the exact same thing. Like, this is an hour of footage that no one has ever seen before. And what if it's just Norm Macdonald's grievances? What if it was part of American culture that when you go to a funeral, the person that passed away has a pre-recorded video of them, all their grievances, just laying them out there.
Instead of saying nice things about people, you're just ripping them?
Well, right. Like a stand-up comedy act. Like you're roasting everybody that's still alive while you're dead in the casket. Like, to my third grade teacher, Mrs. Leonard, you always said I was the dumb one, but you were really the dumb one.
Mm.
You know, well, something
that. That feels very adult, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that that would be a boom for attendance or that would be a hindrance on attendance?
I think people show up because they want to hear what your final words, what you were going to say, what you really thought of them, you know?
I think the room might be full of friends, but I don't know if all your family's coming.
All right, Raven, it's your funeral. I'm so sorry you've passed away.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I had to choose to pull the plug, but thank you for letting me make that decision in your will. That was really surprising.
Okay.
Who are your major grievances towards?
Oh my gosh. Well, on the surface, there's probably one or two people I've worked with over the years. Mm-hmm. Funny to think you don't want to still be letting somebody live rent-free in your head. I pretty much said everything that I could say amongst my friends and family. I might have some things to say about my in-laws.
It's terrible. I can't believe you even
admit that. You want me to
be
honest?
Yeah.
How about you?
There would be a couple old friends that are not friends anymore that I would quickly point out that they are terrible people.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And you know what? Karma. Karma's a thing.
But you're dead.
Right. But you'll be waiting for them? I'll be waiting for them, and I want them to know that I'll be haunting them every day for the rest of their life. And when they see a shadow behind them, that it's me. Does that sound bad? Does that sound awful?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yes.
Why is it trending? Top three things trending and why? Raven, let's start with hashtag BBMA. The Billboard Music Awards were trending last night because they were on.
Yeah.
Drake, Olivia Rodrigo, Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, all winners. But for the most part, it was pretty uneventful, which in today's age means that no one got assaulted on stage.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. But the one thing that had people confused is when Machine Gun Kelly said this.
I wrote this song for my wife. You're too good for me. I'm too bad.
Remember, he's only engaged to Megyn Kelly. So did they magically get married and not tell anybody one of their weird blood ceremonies when they drink each other's blood? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when he asked her in Puerto Rico, there were some questions down there whether or not it had happened down there or whatever. They had done it. So I don't know. Yes. They feel like soul wife and husband.
Well, I agree with
soul
that.
Soul wife. We don't need a legal document.
But then he said this, too.
And this is for our unborn child.
What? Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, why? Your unborn child? You're telling your unborn child to go to sleep? They're not even born yet. What are you talking about?
I didn't even know that they were pregnant.
Well, nobody does.
Okay.
And it's not confirmed, so they don't know. Is this like an announcement? Like when Beyonce rubbed her belly at the Grammys and showed everybody she was pregnant, that was her announcement?
Or him just saying, right, yeah, we're going to do this because I'm so in love with her.
One day we're going to have a baby.
Yeah, we're going to have babies.
I have no idea. Nobody knows.
It's going to be great.
But on a sadder note, Britney Spears was also trending over the weekend because she made an announcement with her fiance, Sam Asghari, that they had lost their baby. She had miscarried, and she said that she should not have said anything so soon. But you know, you get excited, you get caught up in the moment, and it's terrible.
It's too bad.
Also trending, blood moon. Most of North America saw the blood moon last night. Why is it called that? Here's a science lady from the internet explaining.
It's called the blood moon. We take a look at the sun's rays as they head towards Earth. They get scattered and they're going to form a shadow. And what's going to happen is the atmosphere will scatter out that blue light, but the red light remains.
Yeah.
I'm no more educated now than I was
It just looks red. It looks red. It looks red, and it's the thing is that it only happened.
Thanks. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just move on.
But I don't know why they call it. Like, why do they have to go so grotesque? Like, there's so many other things that are red besides blood. Like,
apple moon.
The strawberry moon. Wouldn't that be beautiful? Like, you're excited to see the strawberry moon. You're not excited to see the blood moon, right?
Not everybody loves strawberries.
Well, I mean,
what if you're allergic?
But still, they're lovely.
I'm just saying.
All right. Well, it lasted 1 hour and 25 minutes, so it was a really long time for a lunar eclipse. And okay. If you had a chance to see it, then congratulations to you. Also trending, Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam's drummer has COVID, so he had to bow out of a show. So high school senior Kai Neukerman got in touch with the band, offered to step in, and they took him up on it.
Wow.
Everybody, this is Kai.
And then he got up there and he just rocked it. He really did an incredible job. And I can't imagine being like a high school senior and actually having an opportunity like that and doing such a great job, that amount of pressure.
You know what? I mean, whether you're a fan or not, I mean, that's a cool opportunity, right?
Yes.
Because once he gets in there, he's 18. It shows him an edge of the business that he would have never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
He's certainly going to make some friends. Everybody in his town, he becomes a legend in that area. So anything that he's working on musically brings them up too. So it kind of creates a wake of goodness behind him.
Well, also,
look at you, Pearl Jam, doing something cool.
But it's also a learning experience too for a lot of kids, because sometimes, like I always say, just go in the door, just knock, just call, just text, just DM, because you never know who's going to say, yeah, you know what? You got some time? Come up on stage with us. Why not?
Cool idea. Maybe he stays sick for a couple weeks. They do this in a couple other places, huh? That'd be all right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 If you can't figure out how to cut a cucumber, it's all I need to know about you.
What are we talking about here? I heard something. How bad could it have really been?
That's pretty bad.
All right.
What's the thing that drives you absolutely crazy? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Kendall Jenner. You know, they got that new show, Kardashians, on Hulu.
Sure.
Right. And it's like, it's basically Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but
sure,
now
it's
on Hulu.
Of course it is. But now they don't have to pay other people for it. Now it's all their money.
All right. So this happened.
Just got to chop up some cucumber. It's pretty easy. You go, girl.
You chopping up that cucumber by yourself.
Congratulations, billionaire that chops a cucumber.
That's her and her mom, Kris Jenner. But then things get a little bit scary because they start like kind of zooming in on her.
Yeah.
And it is clear that she does not know how to cut a cucumber.
Never cut one before in her
life.
But,
like, she did it with such confidence. Like, that was going to be her flex. Like, she was going to show everybody that she's completely normal like everybody else.
Yeah.
And this happens.
Be careful, because I nicked myself the other day.
I don't know. I'm kind of scared. Mm. Don't cucumbers have seeds? They're definitely not a good cutter, so don't zoom in on me.
Hey, chef. Do you want to cut this up for her?
I'll do it, Mom. Fine.
Yeah, let's call for the chef that's out of the scene to come in to cut the cucumber.
I love even the next layer is that Kris Jenner also cut herself the other day cutting a cucumber.
It's too much.
Maybe there's a deficiency in that household that you know, all of a sudden, I don't know, the people can't cut cucumbers in there. I mean, explain it to me, given that this is audio, not visual. Tell me, how was she slicing it? Was she slicing it sideways? Was she going lengthwise?
Pretend your arm is a cucumber.
Yes,
right?
Okay, yes, please.
She put it vertical.
Yeah.
And then she wrapped her arm around it from the top with the knife.
Oh, that seems
to try to cut it from the top on a slant.
I mean, like, you're going to, you know, stab yourself
100%.
Like that. Yeah.
It looked like she was going to take the knife and directly into her chest the way she was trying to cut it.
What is that, Hare Krishna? When they, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, not good.
I was trying to think, like, there's a lot of vegetables.
Carrie? Is it one or the other? I don't know.
Butternut squash, very difficult to cut. Like, I'll give her that. Like, you know, if you're trying to cut a butternut squash, it's hard. Even, like, eggplant sometimes to figure out the way, which way you're supposed to hold it. Does the fat part on the go on the bottom, the top? There's vegetables that are hard, but isn't a cucumber pretty straightforward? You know how to cut it.
I mean, it seemed regular to me. I mean, you're either going horizontal or vertical, right? You just lay it on its side and start slicing.
I don't know.
You'll probably get to the end of it one way or the other.
I don't know why she was so brave. I don't know why she had to be so brave to try to show us that she knew how to cut a cucumber.
If the birthday song being sung in a restaurant for some reason just irks you so bad that you can't even hide it on your face, that's all I need to know about you. I'm the type, when I'm at a restaurant, Anna, and somebody's got a birthday going on at another table, I don't get involved in your conversation or anything. But when they come out and they're singing the song, if I'm not going to sing, I'm at least going to clap when it's over. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, you lived another year. You're at the table next door. I mean, it would be awkward if I just sat there with such a sourpuss on my face. There was a full birthday going on. I took my my mother and my father out for dinner the other day. It was my wife and them, and we're there in the restaurant, and somebody comes in. The birthday song comes along to a table right next to us, and they've got the full fireworks. There's like a Roman candle going off, all that. And I look across, and there is just a woman there with a look on her face that she hates birthdays.
I don't know how somebody sings happy birthday. Like, you clap. If you don't clap, like, you're a jerk.
What are you doing there?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? You're in the I mean, I understand. You didn't come here for a birthday party. It just kind of happened around you.
Right, but it's only taking 30 seconds of your day.
You're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Live this thing. Ride it out.
That's all I need to know about you.
For real.
I don't know, Raven. It says here that the airspace above your property is not owned by you. I thought you always owned from the top of your house up to the sky, to the moon or whatever.
I think it's the ground to the sky is what you're looking at, not just the top of your house. But I guess, you know, that would be a problem if you were talking with the FAA or something like that, I guess. Right. Because yeah. If not, we could just, you know, shoot down planes if we felt like it, if they went over our yard.
So what happened?
OK, so I was at a wedding this past weekend. And of course, every wedding's got a drone now, right? There's just somebody that's flying around with a drone. They're either the professional photographer or it's one of your friends. It's like, I got you, man. I got you. We're going to get these photos. And I'm standing near the property line of the venue, and there was a neighbor right next door, and this guy was aggressively looking at and talking at the drone as it was, you know, kind of flying past his property or over his property to get different aerial views of the place. And he was like screaming at it. You know what I mean? And clearly, it's a situation that's been going on before. And then I had somebody ask me. They were like, what if he like shoots it down or something like that? And I was like, I don't know what the rules are.
I don't know what the rules are either.
I was like, maybe he is allowed to shoot it down. I really don't
or
know.
Or throw rocks at it.
At the very least.
When you mentioned this, I was like, started to think about it. And I'm like, if I'm home and I'm in my yard and I'm just doing work and there's a drone over me.
Right.
Like, get out of here. Like, right. I'm not going to be happy about that. It's an invasion of privacy. And I'm thinking about, like, celebrities. And how do they feel when they're just trying to lay by their pool and there's a drone flying over them taking pictures? Like, that's not cool.
I can recall there was a story a couple years back where a kid got, you know, socked in the face, basically. Like, an 18-year-old kid got socked in the face because he was flying this drone over these people over and over again in the beach area. And people are like, well, you know, you can use drones at the beach. Well, yeah, but except that mom that punched him in the face felt like he was creeping on her and her daughter.
Right.
And you know what? I mean, it came to turn out that kid wasn't a very good kid. We found out more down the road. But, you know, it creates a weird situation because on that video, it's like, oh, my gosh, here's an adult running after, you know, an 18-year-old. It's still a teenager or whatever in that situation, but definitely weird.
So I thought in my head, you know, you always hear when you buy a home, you own the property all the way up through the sky, right?
Yeah, so, basically.
But, like, that's why if you have a tree that's encroaching on your property, you could take the branches down off of it because it's over on your property.
Right.
But I just did a quick search, and it says the airspace above your property is owned by the FAA, and any activity that occurs in that airspace does not violate the FAA laws. So it's legal. So you can fly a drone over proper private property as long as you're following the FAA laws, including keeping your drone below 400 feet from above the ground.
So below 400 feet, though. So here's the thing is, again, they're looking out for the planes. They're not looking out for the owner or anything like that. I mean, I think that if anything enters your property and you feel threatened, you have a right to take it down. I don't know. Maybe we need to talk to a drone attorney.
Yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of this. But if you are an attorney and you know anything about this or have some background, give us a call. 1-800-330-9999.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
All this week, Ryan Brecklin from NestEggAuction.com is here. He's an auctioneer and appraiser. It's Anna and Raven's Roadshow. You sent in thousands of items. My email has been flooded and backed up for all last week. Items that you have in your home, you don't know how much they're worth. So, Ryan, today we're going to focus on Pat. She sent like a perfume thing and an old toy. What's the deal with these?
So the perfume that she sent is just simply that. It's a travel perfume, a small glass vial inside of a little chromed or silver case, something a lady would slide into her handbag so that she had some perfume with her. And it's not terribly valuable, $5 or $10. But she goes on to say that there's a toy here But that's not what she sent pictures of. I don't know if she thinks this is a toy or not. I'll try and describe it. It looks a little bit like a cobra snake with a cord coming out of the backside of it. And what this is it's a Danish modern telephone resembling a snake. And when you turn it over, it's got one of the old school turning dials, you know? Rotary dial on the bottom of the phone. And these were really, really popular, or still are really, really popular with anyone who collects mid-century modern.
Yeah, yeah. I remember seeing phones like that, actually, where the rotary is on the bottom. It's on the base, right?
You pick it up, you dial, and the whole thing is together. It's not like you have a handset and a base unit separate.
Right.
There are versions of this in special colors and different conditions that can bring $1,000 to $1,200.
Oh, wow. Meanwhile, she thought the perfume was the thing that had some things. She thought it was a toy, and it's $1,000 to $1,200. So I always see, I like to collect, like, old typewriters, old phones myself at, like, my house. But I swear, I feel like the old black handheld phones that you pick up that have the rotary that my daughters don't have any idea why the numbers are like that when you have to do it. They're like $30. Those aren't really worth anything, right?
So the standard black and cream rotary dial telephones are the most common one. That's when you had to rent the telephone from the telephone company.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Paying the fees. Like, it's like getting your modem or whatever.
The cable box.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. But different colors are much more valuable. So think like, original Batman TV show when Commissioner Gordon picked up the red phone to call Batman, that kind of thing.
Right.
The red ones are more valuable. The seafoam green ones are more valuable. And that's either because of collectors or sometimes because of prop masters in movies who need something to make a scene.
Oh, wow.
That makes sense.
Now I need a seafoam green one. That's going to be on my list of things to look out for.
I remember my grandmother had a green one.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the Anna and Raven Roadshow. All last week, you submitted pictures and information about things you found lying around the house, wondering, is this worth anything? Well, now it's time to find out. Ryan Breckland is from NestEggAuction.com. He's an auctioneer. He's an appraiser. We've done this before, and it always shocks me, Ryan, the amount of things that come in because people are so curious if they've got like a gold mine sitting in their basement.
And everyone watches the Antiques Roadshow on television, and they're waiting for a golden ticket. This is their opportunity, right?
You said you had a big boom during the pandemic, huh?
So during the pandemic, people started looking around their house. Now they're trapped inside. They're looking at these things. Maybe parent passed away and they just stored it. And boxes got open and treasure came out. It was really interesting to see what people brought in.
Ryan's an expert. I mean, he's been doing this for years and years and years. Researched items, traveled for these items to find out, been involved in huge sales, and an old friend, too. So people love this. I'm ready for you to tell me that my retirement is all set.
Right. Well, show me what you have.
All right, well, let's start with my thing. So hand right in front of you is a pair of binoculars that my mother-in-law passed away, and this was in the house when my husband was cleaning out her condo. He says he remembers her having them at his football games and being embarrassed by them.
So, wait, she brought these to his antique opera glasses to a high school football game?
Yes.
Did she also wear a mink coat?
No, I think she thought they were just binoculars.
Well, they are for watching a live event, but, in the 1890s, 1880s,
wow.
Well, we didn't have a Jumbotron, right? So if you want to see the fat lady sing, you got to zoom in a little bit.
Uh-huh.
These are made in Paris. The most popular one is Le Maire. It's probably the one I see the most. These are Chevalier, and they came in different grades. So you could get these encrusted in mother of pearl. You could have rhinestones set into them, gilt bronze. They came in these fitted, beautiful leather cases.
What if we bedazzled them, huh? Yeah. Would that make them more worthwhile?
Let's see how much it's worth first.
Well, a pair like this in perfect condition with a perfect case might be in the $100 to $150 range. It looks like these got used a lot, maybe dropped in the grandstand a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say in this condition, probably in the $40, $50 range.
Well, it's good news for Ravens. I'll show up to work tomorrow. All right.
Raven. Man, they would complete a steampunk costume. That would be really cool. All right, let's see here.
All right, Raven brought in the silver platter. He's so excited about it. He's convinced it belongs to the queen.
Well, here's the thing. Ryan, I'm not sure if this belonged to the Queen of England 100 years ago or if it was edible arrangements from 1940 and somebody just delivered that. I mean, I don't know if that tray is worth a single thing.
It's a huge, huge silver tray. It would have had a tea set on it. So coffee, tea, sugar, creamer, waste bowl, and you would have served tea for your luncheon ladies on this, right?
Okay. I have many luncheon ladies, by the way.
If we can find a mark on it.
Right. So many. I believe I have a tea set somewhere, but I couldn't see anything.
All right. There is a mark. and the mark is Rogers 290. 290 is the pattern on there. Rogers is the maker. It is solid copper with a little bit of silver.
Oh, my gosh.
he dragged me out.
We're both coming to work tomorrow.
If it was silver, maybe $3,000.
Man.
Like it sits right here, maybe $3.
Oh, no. Really?
All right. 15 retail.
You're better off going to Home Goods.
I feel like he enjoyed that too much, right? Oh, the showman is back.
Right. And you got to polish it now, too.
To get that. I mean, he's definitely an expert. We looked at it for a half hour. We didn't see a single mark or number on it.
Nope. All this week, it's the Anna and Raven Roadshow. Ryan Breckland from NestEggAuction.com. He's an auctioneer and appraiser. He has been looking at all the items you submitted to me last week. There were so many. Today, we're going to focus on Ashley. She has sent us a picture of a glass vase. Now, Ryan, in full disclosure, I got so many glass vases in my email box. Like, there was a ton. How do you tell the difference between one that belongs at Goodwill versus one that is worth a lot of money?
All right. I'm going to tell you the difference between a vase and a vase.
Oh, good. Good. Okay. I was actually waiting on that. Right. I need to know.
It's about $10,000.
You know what? That does make sense.
So, yes, there's a lot of common household objects in the world, and they've been made here in America and imported to America for centuries, right? You could get a vase from any part of the world. You could get a bowl from any part of the world, and it could be made of china. It could be made of glass, and we use them. It's just a common thing that you find. When you find a valuable one, most of the time, you're going to put your hands on it, and you'll know. You'll feel something. There'll be some history to it. You're going to say, this is special. This is different. And I should probably talk to a professional about it.
How about the one that Ashley sent?
Well, this is called American Brilliant Period Cut Glass. Mm-hmm. The Brilliant Period was late 19th century, early 20th century. And craftsmen in America using American-made products made some amazing pieces. Thick, heavy cut crystal that they worked on copper wheels and put designs into. And it was very popular. Like any other product, they had low-end ones and they had high-end ones.
Mm-hmm.
So Brilliant Period cut glass, a rare and important piece with extra color, extra cuts, can bring $15,000 to $50,000.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I sold four cordial glasses found on a shelf, discovered in the back of an estate, for $7,000.
Oh, my gosh.
They didn't even know what they had.
When you held them, did you feel Jesus in them?
Right. That's what I was thinking. Somebody spoke to you, right? I mean, I want to know that it's special.
I saw them from across the room. The family had had them there for 120 years and didn't know.
And you gave them, you were like, $5 each. I'll buy these.
No. I said, these are important. You should put them to auction and you're going to get a fair price.
Okay, so Ashley's, how much is hers worth?
She sent in the two most common forms of American Brilliant Period cut glass. So you have a tall vase with a flower pattern cut into it. And then you have a low bowl with what's called like a star or a star and fan pattern.
Yeah.
These pieces, when they're perfect, collectors do not want a bit of damage or a chip or a nick or anything. Mm. Probably about $40 to $80 each.
Oh, all right. Well, that's anticlimactic.
Well, it's different than 50 grand. But you know what I love? Every time we talk about an item, we learn something, Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to put pictures of these that you sent to us on our Instagram at Anna and Raven so you can kind of follow along all week long. And we're going to have more all week with Ryan Breckland from NestEggAuction.com. It's got to be one of the worst feelings for a parent. Like, you're watching your kids, they're playing whatever game they're playing, and then all of a sudden they get hurt on the field and you don't know what to do, right? It happened over the weekend. Hayden plays soccer, and, you know, it's an aggressive game, but there, you know, with the exception of, like, the injuries and all that, the biggest problem there is, I found, is the flying elbows, right? So she's on the field and she's...
What do you mean, flying elbows?
Flying elbows.
I mean, you know I'm not a soccer guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so what? You guys jump in the air and you throw flying elbows like
I think
you're
you get so,
wrestling?
You're coming at each other at full speed
yeah.
to go at that ball.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, people will throw an elbow. Now...
Isn't that illegal?
Yes, it is illegal. It's not okay. A little chicken wing, I think some people will let it go. Like you give them a little nudge, like to get out of your way. I call it the chicken wing. Like I'm sure a lot of people call it the chicken wing. But sometimes you get a flying elbow to the face, right? And that's exactly what happened to Hayden. She's running full at the ball. You know, forward is coming at her. She's defending. And she goes down. Like the elbow comes up and it smashes her in the face. And
yeah.
I'm like, okay. Like, and I, you know, and Hayden is a strong girl. Like
sure.
she She's not going to cry in the field.
Got to watch her reaction.
Together. So I'm looking at her because I can read her. But of course, I'm squinting because now I can barely see anymore. My vision is gone.
Sure.
So I'm trying to look at her face. But all of a sudden, I see her taking her hands and she's like just rubbing her face. And it's like Braveheart. She's taking the blood that's gushing from her nose, and it's like she's just wiping it all up and down her face.
Nice.
Oh, and I'm like, oh, my God, right?
Like, this is a moment here.
So now like, everyone's trying to get the ref's attention to, like, stop the game because she's got blood just all over her face.
No, I mean, how do you know that Hayden didn't want to go next level with the game? Then?
No, I could tell that she was a little bit disoriented, too,
okay.
And she was just trying to, like, she was trying to get her footings and trying to understand. So the ref calls and she gets pulled off. And now I'm pacing back and forth because I don't know if I should go to the other side or,
right.
like, what I should
Let
do.
Let the coach handle it. You
so
know.
Finally I just give up and I run to the other side. And I'm like, why are you wiping it all over your face? Like, what are you doing? I'm like,
yeah.
I'm thinking, and she's like, she has allergies. She's like, I thought it was boogers, mommy. I thought my nose was running like
sure.
snot.
Right.
Oh, I felt so bad for her.
Yeah.
Luckily, no trip to the ER. It was okay.
Yeah.
But man, what a terrible like position to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I played mostly my organized sports when I was younger. I didn't play like, you know, high school sports or anything like that when I got older, but I did play football with my friends in the neighborhood every time it snowed. And I'll never forget, because I had to have surgery, they bent my leg back completely back the other way.
Ah!
Yeah. ACL, MCL, meniscus tear. I had all of those problems all happened. It was absolutely terrible.
Oh, hi. It's Anna and Raven. You had an issue with your kid get injured?
Hi. My son was pitching in his very first Little League game. And it's when he threw the ball. The batter hit it straight into his face.
Oh,
gosh.
That is the worst. Like, I mean, it's terrifying, really. It's terrifying to be a batter, too. Like, I played baseball when I was younger. What was I thinking? I didn't play, like, when everybody got really good and strong, like high school, but right. even before then.
So here's the question I have for you, because as a mom, my first instinct is to jump up and to run on the field to, like, go see if she's okay.
My precious baby boy!
Yeah, like, are you okay?
My precious daughter!
Like, what did you do? Did you just sit there and wait? Did you walk around? Like, what did you do?
Yeah, I think I paced around, like, okay, should I go? Should I stay?
Right.
Yeah.
My husband was like, I'm going to go. So he went.
And is he okay? Was he all right?
He was all right. We did take him to the emergency room to get x-rays eventually.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, nothing was broken.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Still scary. And you don't know what to do, right? Because if you run down too quickly, he's going to be like, Ma, you embarrassed me.
1-800-330-9999. Do you have a situation like that, too? Did you get injured playing sports as a kid or your child? At my daughter's soccer game, she took an elbow to the face, blood gushing all over her face. She looked like Braveheart.
It's nasty, but injuries happen. My friends folded my leg back the other way. Thanks, pals.
Yeah. What was the sports injury that happened to your kid? And how did you react? Did they go to the ER? Or maybe even happened to you when you were small? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna Raven.
When my son was about 12 years old, he was on a travel baseball team. And he was a pitcher. He caught a ball that was hit at him, but he fell onto the mound. So for weeks, he complained, and we just kept saying, walk it off, deal with it. You're in travel ball now.
Yes.
I decided to take him to get an x-ray, and he ended up fracturing his pelvis.
Yeah. Yeah, but you were like, yeah, toughen up, kid.
You can imagine the feeling I had.
Toughen up, kid.
Boy, did I feel horrible.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, it was bad. I felt like CPS was coming after that. Now, I never felt like I was going to not believe them.
Yeah.
Right. It's hard to tell,
You're
though.
In travel ball now.
Yeah.
Like he was in the NFL or the MLB.
It is hard.
Well, that was like me with Hayden. I'm like, her nose is still straight, so I guess we're fine.
Right. You were like, get back out there and play. We didn't drive 45 minutes for nothing.
I'm like, we don't have any subs. Like,
right.
You got to get back on the field.
Exactly.
Tanda and Raven, what was your sports emergency room story?
Okay. So I don't know if it counts as sports, but I was in like a McDonald's play place, you know, with all the slides and everything. My brother decided he didn't want to wait for me to get off the slide. Came down, kicked me in the knee, and you know, I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't get up. It hurt so bad. And it literally was like, I could see it looked like I had two kneecaps.
Oh.
My knee was dislocated, and I had to get taken out of McDonald's in an ambulance.
Were you 6 or were you 16 or 36?
I was like 12.
I mean, they said it's not sports, but I mean, if you're my age and you try and get through one of those things, you'd better be an athlete. That's crazy. Dislocating your knee, I would hate my brother the rest of my life.
I mean, the brother, exactly. The sibling rivalry with the injuries is not for nothing. My little godson and my goddaughter, my little cousins, one of them pushed the other one off the top of a playscape and she broke her arm. Just looked at her and pushed her off the top like it was nothing, like 10 feet to the ground.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, kids are terrible.
Yes.
I don't know if I feel right about laughing. Ann Raven, what's your sports injury ER story?
Yeah, so when I was in high school, my parents thought it would be a great idea if I tried football out. And I was really not an athletic kid. Signed up for the JV team. You didn't really have to try out or anything. They were like, oh, this kid's kind of husky. Like, he could be a good linebacker. So sure enough, we're practicing one day, and this kid who clearly had been football his whole life tackled me, knocked out, unconscious. They took me to the emergency room. Oh, remember awaking there. And, I mean, luckily it was just a pretty bad concussion, but it was pretty scary.
Bigger question. How did it make you feel being called husky? I remember my brother.
Is there a worse term for grandmothers or family members?
Because I remember shopping when we were little. We have to shop in the husky boy section for my brother. And I remember thinking like that was messed up because I would have to shop in the junior section even though I was 6 years old.
That is revealing and hurtful.
1-800-330-9999. What happened to your kid on the field? It's terrible for the kid, but it's also terrible for the parent that watches it happen and doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, injuries are never fun, that's for sure. And when they put you in the hospital, right, you know that's next level kind of stuff.
Yeah. When did your kid get so hurt at a sports game that it landed them in the hospital? My daughter got an elbow to the nose. Luckily, no hospital, but with the amount of blood that was gushing out, I thought for sure that's where we were headed. 1-800-330-9999. Tana and Raven.
So my son and my nephew were playing a baseball game together, and it was the first time they just moved here from a different town. And my nephew bumped into the fence, fell down, broke his fibia, and his growth plate in his ankle three weeks ago.
Oh, my.
And he's still out of school.
My gosh.
It's terrible.
That is crazy. It's nuts. Like, you know, you hit something the right angle, the right speed or whatever. Like, I mean, you would never think.
Well, I'm telling you, when I was, so I blew out my ACL and my meniscus in my right knee. So I had surgery in December, but I go to PT twice a week still for recovery. Everybody there, it's me and all high school kids that have all done injuries on the field.
Wow.
Volleyball players, lacrosse players, field hockey, all of them. So I pretend like I'm one of them. Like,
yeah.
I'm an actual athlete. So I'm like, how'd you get yours? Oh, on the field. Yeah, I did a jump squat at the gym.
Yeah, yeah. What are you in for?
Yeah. Right.
And Ann Raven, what was your sports injury or your kid's sports injury?
Well, my son was a senior in high school, and he was the center of the football team. And I taught at the same school, and we were at every game. And he gets knocked to the ground, tears his ACL and meniscus.
Uh-huh.
It took everything in me and everyone around me to hold me in the stance. Now, you can't run down there and embarrass the hell out of him,
right,
let alone
you're
a teacher
school.
At the school.
Right.
Bottom line, though, he wanted to play D3 football. There went his dream.
That's the worst.
He could walk today. He could walk.
Yeah.
He still creaks sometimes.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know. It was hard to stay in the stands. It was really hard.
It's the worst feelings. You don't know what to do. You want to run to your baby. You want to make sure they're okay.
And Raven, what's your sports emergency ER story?
Well, I used to play tennis a lot when I was younger. And unfortunately, the tennis ball, like, hit my face. And you would think the tennis balls, yeah, they're soft. But let me tell you, when somebody's hitting that ball really hard and fast, like it comes to you really fast, and when it hits you in the face, man, is it explosive. Broke my nose.
Oh my gosh, I didn't think a tennis ball could break a nose.
Oh yeah. The professional tennis players are serving like 100 miles per hour. I mean, imagine
Absolutely,
getting hit
yeah.
by one of those. Okay, I don't care if it's super soft, you get hit by something at 100 miles per hour, it's going to feel like you got hit by a brick.
And now that's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good thing you're not a tennis player.
I was about to say, let's throw tennis balls at each other's faces and see what happens.
No.
No, we're not going to do that.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Mark and Natalie. Natalie, what's going on?
So my husband and I have a one-year-old cat, Oliver. We're about to go on vacation, and I'm just having a hard time right now finding someone to take care of my baby. No friends or family or anything, and so I'm thinking I need to go to, like, an outside source, you know, like people who walk dogs and take care of cats and, you know, will come and stay and spend time with them. The problem is, Mark, because it's going to be like $175, because I've checked with him, and he thinks that's like too much to take care of a cat, but we're not going to be there. We're going to be on vacation.
Mark, how long are you guys going to be away?
We're going to be away for 4 days and three nights, which is not that long of a time.
4 days, three nights, you said?
I mean, I had cats before. As a dog guy, I mean, obviously you can't leave a dog for more than like 8 hours without the world exploding. So you've got to, you know, be on top of that. And if you don't want to board your cat, I get it. You're going on vacation for a few nights and you're thinking about the cat being in a strange place and you're not for it.
Yeah, no.
Like, so what I would do is, Anna, if I was going like 2 days and the most I ever did was two nights, I might have done three nights one time, but I would put food in different places. So, like, I knew, like, as he would get more desperate, he'd get closer to the cabinets. So then I would put, it like, another bowl on the countertop. I would put another bowl here, there. And then I would, you know, have different water bowls spread out. And then I would actually leave one of the sinks dripping a little bit.
Wait a minute.
That's what?
Are you allowed? What is wrong with you? You're a terrible animal parent.
I mean,
that's awful.
I mean, I don't know. My cats survived every time. They lived to be 22. They were very long-lived cats.
So three. I mean, I don't know much about cats, so I don't know. Is 3 nights away from them, 3 nights, 4 days, a long time to leave your cat without somebody checking in with them? I have no idea.
Food and water, yes. Fresh litter box could be a party.
All right, let's see what the audience says, because they may agree with Natalie. That's too long, and you're going to suck it up and pay the $175 to have the stranger come take care of your cat. But they see Mark's side, too, that maybe that's fine. Maybe the cat will be fine. If it has a litter box, it has plenty of food, it has plenty of water, what's going to happen?
I mean, on top of it, you're letting some person that you don't know, who you just found online, into your house.
It's true.
Which is odd, too.
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couple Score with Anna and Raven.
Mark and Natalie are going away on vacation, and it's the first time they're leaving Oliver, their cat. So the problem is that they're going to be gone for 3 nights, 4 days. Mark says, it's fine. We don't need to hire anyone to watch the Oliver. He's going to be fine. We put out food. He's got the litter box. He's okay.
I had two cats, you know, and sometimes I would have to go for a couple nights or whatever. And I would just leave food and water in various places, TV on, you know, some lights on, that type of thing. I left all their favorite stuff in the places. Not to say I didn't come home to chaos every once in a while, but I mean, they were alive.
Natalie disagrees 100%. She says, this is our baby. We can't leave our baby for 4 days and three nights. I found a sitter. It's $175. But Mark is like, we don't even know this person. We're going to pay a stranger to come in our house for $175 to take care of our cat that we've never met?
Right. And how long are they hanging out? What are they really doing? You don't know.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Core.
Hey, I'm on his side. Absolutely. The cat can be left alone. You can leave a cat alone for 4 days. I've done it. Food, water.
And you know what? The fourth day, everybody always says 4 days. The fourth day, you're going to be home by noon, all right? I don't care. People are like, well, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to have a nice lunch. I mean, I'll spend my time at the beach or whatever, blah, blah, blah. The truth is that your checkout time is before that anyways. Like, your checkout time is 11 a.m. You're showered and ready to go.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. 3 nights, 4 days. That's how long Mark and Natalie are going away for. But they do have a one-year-old cat named Oliver, who they're leaving for the first time. Natalie has found a pet sitter that will come for $175 and take care of Oliver. But Mark says, that's ridiculous.
Listen, every time I go away, I know what it's like to have a house sitter and a pet sitter. You know, with us and our dogs, it's crazy. But when I had cats, I could leave them for a couple nights and I wouldn't freak out. Natalie says, we're not doing that with our cat, Mark. This is our baby.
Yeah, he also argues, like, this is a stranger coming into our house, and it's a lot of money. Why are we going to pay a stranger to come in? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
Totally on her side. You can't leave cats alone for days. They're like children. Get into a routine. They need food. They need water. You need to clean the litter box regularly. And you know, I'm a person who did cat rescue. I know well about cats. And I also did pet sitting. And that's not a lot of money to have cats watched. He should be happy, you know, not complaining about the cost.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the side of the wife. I can understand her how she doesn't want her pet to be left alone for that long time. But maybe the two of them could come up with a better compromise. Maybe she could find somebody else who's not as expensive. Maybe she could find a cheaper person to watch them, and he wouldn't have to put out so much money.
And Raven, whose side are you on?
I guess I'm on the husband's, but I would say, you know, maybe he should meet his wife in the middle, and they could get someone every other day to check in on the cat. Maybe not every day, but might be a good solution.
I mean, doesn't the TV already do that? Leave the TV on, right? A couple lights, food all over the place. I mean, it's 3 days.
I can't. I am not at will to make a decision on this because I don't know. Like, I've never had a cat.
Yeah.
I had to take care of a cat, so I have no idea.
My cats were tough, man. Yeah. Really tough.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Mark, our audience agreed with you. They felt 3 nights is okay. That was the thumbs up. They're like, yeah, you're all right for a cat.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's a breed that can sustain itself. It's not that long of a time. And $175 is a waste of money.
You know, maybe if you don't have it already, invest in a Ring camera or some way that you can look in. If you've got Alexa devices, you can do a drop-in or whatever. And then you can see where the cat is. So as long as it's facing its, you know, bed or favorite chair or whatever, you'll know when it's relaxing. You'll know where it's at.
Yeah, but what if Oliver is missing us or something? Like, I can't touch him or do anything on, like, a Ring or whatever that is. I can just look and be sorry that he doesn't have anyone to play with.
Yes, it's just a radio show and not a magic show. I'm sorry. I can't wipe that away. I hope he doesn't miss you at all. Have a great trip, you two.
All right. Thank you.
You have a problem, too. Send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $7,400 thanks to Discover Card. With prices soaring at the pump, Discover has your back with cash back. Use Discover Card to earn 5% cash back at the gas station and Target now through June on up to $1,500 in purchases when you activate. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/rewards. Samantha, I got faith. Let's go. New week. Let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Samantha.
Thanks.
Oh, I got a good feeling. All right. Samantha, it's 5 pop culture questions. I'm going to give you 3 seconds to answer each one. Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Yes.
Number one, Adele and her boyfriend just bought Sylvester Stallone's old house. It even has a Rocky statue by the pool. What was the numerical number title of her last album?
30.
Number two, YouTube star Sophia Grace and Rosie made one last appearance on what daytime talk show that made them famous as children?
Ellen DeGeneres Show.
Number three, Kelly Clarkson is taking a break from being a judge on The Voice, and it was announced that she'll be replaced by what newcomer? That's time, Samantha. All right.
Okay.
Number four. This weekend, Chandler was trending on Twitter because it was the fictional 21st anniversary of his marriage to what Friends co-star character?
Oh, my God. I can't remember her name. Monica.
And number five. After a just-for-fun wedding in Las Vegas, Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker legally were married on Sunday in what city?
Oh, my gosh. I know this.
Time, Samantha. Gosh! All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Let's go. How'd you do?
3 out of 5.
All right, I mean, not terrible, not great. Let's see how I do there, Sam.
I think you knew these, Samantha. I think you froze under the lights. All right, number one, Adele and her boyfriend just bought Sylvester Stallone's old house. It even has a Rocky statue by the pool.
I mean, that's great.
What was the numerical number title of her last album?
30.
Yes. Number two, YouTube stars Sophia Grace and Rosie made one last appearance on what daytime talk show that made them famous as children?
Well, if it's the last, it's got to be Ellen.
Yes. Number three, Kelly Clarkson is taking a break from being a judge on The Voice, and it was announced that she'll be replaced by what newcomer?
My buddy's ex-girlfriend, Camila Cabello.
Who's your buddy's ex-girlfriend?
Shawn Mendes. He's my buddy.
He's not. Okay, sure. That's 3. You guys are tied. Number four, this weekend, Chandler was trending on Twitter because it was the fictional 21st anniversary of his marriage to what Friends co-star character?
I got to just take a shot on this because I never watched it. It's either Monica or Rachel. I'm going to go Monica.
Monica's correct.
Yeah!
After a just-for-fun wedding in Las Vegas, Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker were legally married on Sunday in what city?
I'll just take a shot and say Santa Monica.
Santa Barbara.
Oh, well,
yeah. I'm sorry, Samantha. He beat you 4-3. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Samantha, and I can't beat Raven.
Thanks for trying, Samantha. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. She sounded mad. $7,500 tomorrow.
Yep, that's a lot of cash for you. And I want to thank Adrian, Michelle, and Marion, who all submitted questions that I've used over the last week for Can't Be Raven. If you have an idea for a question, too, submit it at annaandraven.com.